Genesis chapter 43. As we look in the Word of God. As we've been carefully looking at this chapter, we've looked at the theme of it being celebration. And of course, we see what happened. They had to go to their father and ask him, "Can you send our other brother?" Because the man straightly asked us if we had another brother. And of course, he didn't lie to him. There's a principle to be taught in there to ask people specific questions so they can't give you vague answers so they can lie. Just like I spotted some candy on somebody's hymn book over there. I didn't ask them if they had any candy. I saw it and I said, "Can I have some?" Now, some of y'all are rascals. Y'all had candy in your pocket and I would say, "Can I have some candy?" They say, "You see any candy?" See, that's what the principle is there. From the back row to the front row, I like how you just keep it out there. Amen. I like that. So as we looked at this chapter, 34 verses, 938 words, inspired forever, preserved in our King James Bible, this particular chapter to 6.4 grade level. And we saw Jacob's persuasion showed off in verses 1 through 14 as they had to persuade him. And then we see Joseph's reception in verses 15 down to 34. And as we start reading, let's look down at verse 15. We're going to pick up there. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand. And that's because he had sent their money back with them before. And Jacob said, "Put double money in there." So took their money in their hand and Benjamin. Now he's a key figure in this thing, Benjamin. And rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, "Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for our bondmen and our asses." And what you see is a guilty conscience in them guys. Their conscience is killing them, and they're Democrats. It says so right there at the end of the chapter. You ever wondered why that thing was their party symbol? I think the fruit of it's being played out before your very eyes right now. I've never seen a bunch of more ignorant people in my life that will swallow a lie before they'll breathe in the truth. And it says in verse 19 that they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they continued with him at the door of the house and said, "Oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the end that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack. Our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks." And he said, "Peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and they gave them water, and they washed their feet. And he gave their asses provender, and they made the ready the present against Joseph. Came at noon, and for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand, and the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked of them their welfare, and he said, "Is your father well, the old man whom you spake? Is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread." And they set on him for him by himself and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Now I could take an hour right there how the world hates us. as children of God, they don't want to sit and eat with you. You know why? They want to order beer, and you'll tell them, please don't do that. Please don't do that. One of the biggest reprobate statements I ever heard somebody make, and reprobate meaning without God and couldn't figure it out type thing, was Johnny Hunt, the pastor of the Southern Baptist Convention. He used to pastor a church up here called Stateline or Midway or one of them up there. And he pastored down in Georgia, probably still is a pastor down there. He said that people like you and I that's against drinking are legalists. Guilty as charged. But he said if he had to sit down in a restaurant and buy a man a drink and be able to witness to him, he'd do that. That ain't how that's done.
No.
That's not how it's done. I used to be a dope head. Do I go out and get them high before I talk to them? That don't work. It didn't work when I was high and they was high, and much less now. You listen, the Bible says, woe unto him that put the bottle to his neighbor's lips. I don't want to fool with nothing past that. But it said the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews because that's an abomination. It don't make God's people sick, but it makes them sick to eat with you. Just saying. And it says, they sat before him, the firstborn, according to his birthright, and the youngest, according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messages unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry with him. Now, as we look at this chapter tonight, we look at the rest of this chapter, there's something stands out to me about Benjamin down here. And that's his name means the son of thy right hand. And that's what I'm going to preach to you on tonight, the son of thy right hand. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you. We pray, God, that you'll help us tonight, Lord, and speak to our hearts according to the Word of God. Lord, that you'd teach us these things according to Psalm 119, verse 18, where you open our eyes, Lord, we behold wondrous things out of your law. God, help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and all long-suffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look tonight at this about the son of thy right hand, at the beginning of the chapter where Judah over there in verse 8, where he's starting to plead with his father about send the lad with me, he's a type, literally, of Christ at his first coming, a type of Christ. When he makes the statement in verse 9, I will be surety for him. He says, I'll make the payment for him. Or if something happens to him, I'll take his place type thing. And we looked at that, and also he said, then let me bear the blame forever. And that shows how Christ took your sin, died for your sin. And because he died for it, he put it away forever. Far is from the east is to the west. And we notice tonight, as we get to the end of this chapter, Benjamin becomes a type of Christ in this. He's a type of Christ at his second coming. Okay? We see the similarities with him and stuff, but we see, number one, we see the celebration. When Joseph went into Egypt, we say he's the clearest type in the Bible. There was no party given. There was no big dinner held. There wasn't none of that. But when Benjamin shows up, there's a celebration. Now watch this. On earth, during the time of when the rapture happens in this world, the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you hold your place here, I'll show you this. Don't you be able to show these blockheads you talk to about this. Don't argue with them on purpose, but, you know, be ready to tell them the hope that's in you, you know. One of the great things Christians have in this life, if nothing else, is two things. Number one, we'll never have to go to hell. Well, I tell you what, are y'all saved at all? We will never have to go to hell. Do you know where hell is and what happens when you get there? It's a thing. It's a bad thing. It's a place of outer darkness, place of punishment, so on. But the other part is, if we live long enough and Christ comes to get us in the rapture, we don't face one day in the tribulation at all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, what about that? The wrath that's to come is the great tribulation. You and I won't face it. I heard some of these little skinny, tough guys get up on the internet in their little videos and say, we're just not man enough to go through halfway through the tribulation. That's what we're afraid of. I don't think he knows what's going to go on during that time. I don't think you realize how this society is being set up right now for the apostates that's left in Christendom after we rapture out, for them to join up with the Catholic Church and both be ruled by the Pope, for the Pope to step into the UN because he's got a seat on the UN to be voted in world leader, all in one day. I don't think they realize once that happens, little smart mouth, skinny nose, snot nose punks like that, they're going to come get you first. What are they going to do with me? Well, they're going to give you a public chance to do one thing. Confess the Pope is God, or they off with your head. Hey, that sounds just like it used to be in the 14th century, back before the Reformation came in. That was their method of soul winning for 1,000 years. And I say that soul winning with the quotes, you know. Do you believe the Pope of Rome is God? Nope. Spanish Inquisition, same thing. But now we see that the time of Jacob's trouble is at hand, and it's not the time of Joseph's trouble, it's not the time of the church's trouble, it's the time of Jacob's trouble. And God's going to turn again and deal with Israel during that time. The reason this crowd's in such a mess, they all think, for whatever reason, they think they're the Jew now. God clarified that thing in the New Testament by saying there's three. There's the church, the Jew, and the Gentile. That's it. That's how he's going to deal business with. He's going to take the church out of here, and there's going to be two left, and he's going to deal with them. But notice this. And on earth, during the time of tribulation, we see judgment, and we see the wrath of God poured out on this world. They can have their marches and say blasphemous things to Jesus Christ right now, but he's coming, and he's going to take care of that. And while you wonder if there is a God other than that Antichrist, he's going to be pouring out wrath from heaven that that Antichrist can't explain. Yep. He'll know what's going on, but he won't tell it. He won't tell you now. In heaven, though, we see justice, because all wrongs are righted the moment we see him who died for us. Once we see him, all our problems are past. Once he gives us a glorified body, all things are past. And behold, listen, there'll be no more pain in that place. There'll be no more diabetes from that moment on. No more high blood pressure. No more eyeglasses. None of that. God will put complete and total healing on that glorified body because it'll be like his. Now watch this. The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be taking place in heaven, while earth is going to be God dealing with people here on earth and pouring judgment out on them. And if you look over at Revelation chapter 19... Revelation chapter 19. So you done took us from Genesis to Revelation, and we're going to double back and get them again. Amen. We're getting all of it tonight. Revelation chapter 19. And if you look down at verse number, I believe it's verse 9. It is, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, I noticed something right there. He said the marriage supper of the Lamb. I need not have to explain this too hard to you, but it's going to be a buffet no matter what you believe. You think Golden Corral had a spread, what do you see this? Somebody said one time, there won't be no fried chicken there. Those are dead things. I said, if you don't believe fried chicken's going to be in heaven, you're probably going to be in the wrong place anyway. I'll tell you this. We're not eating spinach and herb powders up there. I'll tell you that. We're not chewing on roots. I'll tell you that. Wrong God. When he said marriage supper of the Lamb, that indicates the last meal. And oh, what a meal it's going to be. Reese cups as big as swimming pools. Grapes as big as cars. The watermelon's as big as a transfer truck. I'm telling you, the supper of the Lamb. We talking about when God puts on the spread. I need to preach that, don't I? When God puts on the spread. I'm kind of getting into it, but I'm going to deal with that later. But I see that thing there, and he says, these are the true sayings of God. So we got the celebration going on over in Egypt. That's a type of this right here. If you go back over to Genesis 43... Genesis 43. Benjamin is a type of Christ at his second coming for several things. Number one, he's seated with these boys at the right hand. Because he is quick to call his name the son of thy right hand. And from what I understand of how the Orientals presented their people, they would have their children stand up. If you were like you're looking at the Oriental father of the people, he'd have his mother sitting here, and he'd start standing his children up. He'd have the oldest to the youngest. So whoever's over here on this side is the son of thy right hand. That's Benjamin. Now watch this. We see him seated at the right hand, but in Acts chapter 2, verse 33, you see Jesus seated at the right hand. See, in a type can't be fulfilled in the Old Testament, it's fulfilled in the New Testament. And if they're good types, they're going to be types of Christ. That's as clear as you get right there. Number two, even when they begged, Benjamin is only allowed to go when Jacob, his father, said he could go. Now think about it. He sent them boys some food. They kept Simeon, come back, and said, we've got to have Benjamin to go back. And he said, all these things are against me. He can't go. That's a picture of God the Father saying, not till I say so. And you'll find in your Bible, Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus said this, all the times of the end, they're not mine to know. They're just of the Father to know.
Right.
Jesus is not coming back till God says so.
Right.
Saying it fulfills the type. And another one, and this is the last one I will give you tonight about these, but when Joseph came and he was a type of the first coming, there was hatred. If you look over in Genesis 37, all these are in the same chapter for Joseph. Genesis chapter 37. It says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 4, when Joseph showed up on the scene, and he's a type of Christ, his first coming, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more, Genesis 37, 4, than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And he was stripped of his clothing. If you look down in verse number 23, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat. His coat of many colors was on him. And then they imprisoned him in verse 24. So they took him and cast him in the pit. And the pit was empty and there was no water in it. So all these things happened to Joseph. He's a type of Christ at his first coming. When Christ came, listen to this. When Joseph came into Egypt, if you look down in Genesis chapter 37, verse number 12, when Joseph came to Egypt, the Bible says this. And she called him in by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And then down in verse number 20, the Bible says, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. So we see that happened with Joseph. He was hated. He was in prison. He was stripped naked, and of course all that. That's the same as Christ was. When he came to this earth, the Bible said the Jews hated him. They rejected him in Acts chapter 7. They hated him when he came. They could not speak peacefully to him. And of course, as you know, when they took him, they falsely imprisoned him, falsely tried him. They stripped him of his clothing. They crucified him. And they said, good thing we're done with him. He'll never be back. Well, wasn't they shocked 3 days later?
No, that's right.
Well, listen, you think Pontius Pilate's wife had trouble having a dream about it. What did you think when she heard he got up from the grave? Listen to me. Here's the thing. When Benjamin shows up in Egypt, it's a whole different story. In this chapter, in chapter 43, verse 34, look what happens. He shows up and there's Mary. There's well-being. There's celebration because the son of thy right hand has come. His brethren didn't hate him. They accepted him then. Just like they will here shortly when he comes back. Jews hate Jesus. We love the Jew, but the Jew hates the Christian and his Christ. God blinded them on that subject. There may be someone now, but not like there could have been. But we see the celebration that's happened because Benjamin shows up. And when he shows up in Egypt, it's a type of the world, a celebration. When Christ shows back up in the second coming, after the war is over, within about 24 hours, probably what it'll take, we'll see that there'll be a great celebration here on this earth. We see the celebration of him. We see the redemption. The price was paid in Jesus' death when he said, it is finished. He died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins. I noticed something peculiar about Benjamin when he showed up. They didn't give him one or two heavens, they gave him five. Five shows up, we're talking about Benjamin being a type of Christ. Listen, it's already passed. Jesus has died. But notice this. The power to redeem was in the Redeemers. It's never been in Satan's hands. I've heard false teaching over the years where they'll say that that Jesus had to pay the blood to Satan and pay the price to him. He did none of the such. And you tell Kenneth Copeland, that other crazy old woman, all that makeup, and the rest of that charismatic crowd, tell them the Bible says so.
Right.
The price wasn't owed to Satan, it was owed to God.
Amen.
And when it says that he died and he made reconciliation, it wasn't with us and Satan, it was us and who was the party that was paid the redemption. That was God Almighty.
Yep.
Notice this. Look up Ruth chapter 4. I want to show you this. The power to pay, the power to redeem and have the redemption is in the hand of the Redeemer. And get this thing. In the book of Ruth, she shows up over there, a Gentile married into a Jewish family. And when it comes time for her price to be paid for, nobody wanted to do it. So I say, that's something. You know exactly how she feels. When you've lost, nobody wanted to have nothing to do with you either. And listen, the things of God were not open to you. Nobody wanted you. The devil used you and nobody wanted you. God shows up in the person of Christ and becomes the kinsman redeemer. It says in verse 6, and the kinsman said, this is the other one, he said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, and to confirm all things, the man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto elders and unto all the people, your witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and all that was Mahlon's and of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. How many other people have you ever heard in your life in the Bible getting purchased to be a wife? One other one, the bride of Christ. He purchased it with his own blood.
Right.
Ain't that something? All this tied into a little boy going down in Egypt. The son of thy right hand. Back over in Genesis chapter 43 over here. We've got it says, and he took and sent messes unto them before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as of any of theirs. And they drank and were made merry with him and all that and were merry with him. So he has the power to pay and the power to redeem. And the people were able to come. No bigger trip was ever took than the one that they took going down into that country. I read the other day how Elisha had a young servant with him and an army surrounded him. And the boy got scared. Elisha said, don't worry about him. He said, but look, everywhere we turn, there's the enemy. They've got us surrounded. And he set his hands, that boy said, listen. He said, Lord, just open his eyes and let him see what's really going on around us. He probably saw something that would scare you to death. The Lord's host was around. That's why they couldn't get no closer. That unseen hand had his army there and was not letting them move any forward towards them. Boy, what a great God we serve. And I promise you that same army had to guard that caravan from Canaan all the way down to Egypt, because I'm sure the devil wanted to kill every one of them. You ever wonder what followed you to church tonight? You say, I don't believe there's that bad of people out there. You obviously ain't been driving anywhere in 10 years. They don't understand go at green lights. They don't understand to stop at red lights. They don't understand turn signals. They don't understand speed limits. If everybody's cars, and this, I don't give the government no ideas, but if I were Donald Trump, I'd just put things on your car every time you speed, it automatically send you a ticket. Y'all wouldn't shout while I go, and I was talking about not going to hell. Now we're going to get you. We're going to preach the law so you'll get saved, amen. That's how this works, right? But listen, you don't know what got around you just to get you here tonight. But I noticed this in redeeming. The people were able to come, and it was made ready where he could come, where he could get there. And let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. By way of application, I want to show you something here. Matthew chapter 24. They were able to come because God made it where they could come. They were headed out and they decided to journey in the will of God. And here comes the Lord to make sure they get there. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, I've heard people say, now there's signs that's being filled. And there's only one sign that was waiting to be fulfilled. That was Israel becoming a nation, right? And then there's this one right here that nobody ever talks about. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, I get friend requests from people in Africa now on Facebook. I don't know nobody over there. I don't want to buy nothing they're selling. I don't want to be in any Bitcoin scheme or here's a tip to buy stocks from people I don't know in a continent I don't live on. Those are scams, boys and girls. Okay? But nonetheless, all that garbage is coming this way. We're sending this that way. And that way, and that way, and that way, and that way, and going over there, and going over here. So the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection. You know, I thought it was funny. We've been doing this online stuff. Y'all were doing it and everything. All of a sudden, the pandemic hits, and churches close down. Y'all been praying for revival. They shut the beer joint down. You shut the church down. You, listen, quote Fred Sanford, you big dummy. God give you everything you're praying for, and you won't keep the church house open. Never mind then. Let's get back to business. We have this video ministry, and then all of a sudden everybody's got a video ministry. And for 6 solid months, they put out gospel around the world. Do you think that has anything to do with this by any chance? A lot of things shaping up, ain't it? We're getting the government in position to tell you what to do and when to do it. You're going to do it. You ain't going to claim no First Amendment rights. You're going to say, oh, no, I want to go. They'll take us to jail. There ain't no law for it, and yet you're doing it anyway. In this country, we got a three-part government. You got a House of Representatives, you got senators, and you got the president. You know, they're the Congress, he's the president, and you got the judges over here. That's to keep everybody in check. There can be no law passed in any of the state governments or the federal government unless the Congress approves it and the president signs it. Or the governor. Now, you think about that. Oh, these are mandates. If you want to wear a mask, you can't come in our store. Well, either you hand me one or I ain't coming in if I ain't got one. My idea in life is not to make sure I got a mask to get in your store. My idea in life is to get my stuff and get home. Okay? And if it means that much to you, I can order it too. We can cut your profit right out. I just order it, make you bring it to me, and we'll be done. All of them's doing it. Even the grocery store. Now listen, y'all keep on being a slave to the grinder. You can get with the program. Listen, if you don't stand up, nobody else will. I contacted the mayor and I contacted my city council and I said, thank you for voting no against a mask thing. That's so stupid because they're going to try to vote it in October and the virus is going to disappear November 4th. So are you a prophet? No, not even the son of one, but I can see the handwriting on the wall. Now listen to me. We got Benjamin showing up. He's the Redeemer, right? There's something right there you need to understand. The gospel of that redemption, Jesus dying for all, him getting up the third day from the grave has been preached to in all the world. Only thing I'm wondering, Lord, what you waiting on? You find the same chapter, that's of the Father to know, so I can't know. But I clearly can read that. What about this one? When we see Jesus paid that redemption, look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You're going to stand amazed about this thing like you ain't going to believe. What did we say 5 was in the Bible numbers again? It was death, right? Because Genesis 5, they died. Genesis 5, 5, there's the first death. And you got all these numbers lining up like that thing. It's amazing. And it's not a coincidence because the coincidence is 2 times it happening. Just the number 5, I know of 14, 15 things about 5 where that thing just keeps showing up, showing up, showing up. And people are going, where'd you see that? It's in the book. Now watch this. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 10. Chapter 5, get it? 5. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You know whose life got saved right here? The guy that country's named over and all 12 of his sons because he let one kid go down into Egypt. They were saved by his life. Had he not went, they could not have went back. Now, as you know that, you see that stuff. We see the people are able to come. The power redeems there. But there's one more thing. We see humiliation and the humiliation that comes. The king of pride, according to Jeremiah chapter 30, we're going to see that the Bible says over there that the great tribulation, that's the time of Jacob's trouble. Okay? And that being that, the king of pride is going to take his armies. He knows the thing's fixing to wrap up, and he's going to send everything he's got to one little space on the map, Israel. The Russians are going to come from the north. The Chinese are going to come this side into this way. And somebody told me one time back, I guess 20 years, I said, "You crazy. There ain't no way they'd make it through there like that." They just bought every piece of aluminum, steel, brass, bronze, silver, gold, everything they had was scrap in America. The Chinese bought that stuff for 10 years. And in 2011, it was revealed to us that they've been making hydroelectric dam after hydroelectric dam over there. And if you look at the pattern, the way that thing goes, you can take a million people from over there, or a billion, and come that way now on foot, because the cars won't be working by then. There they come. They didn't have bridges over these things. Now they can bring an army that way because all of it's stopped up. Now, when they come that way, remember that peace deal we've been signing the last few days? I'm for our president, but I know from history, if you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it. Every peace deal every Muslim's ever made with Israel, they've broken it. Every one of them. I remember when I was a kid, Jimmy Carter had Yasser Arafat, and the Prime Minister of Israel sat down, and they're all smiling, signing papers, and 10 weeks later, that terrorist, Yasser Arafat, was bombing Israel again. 10 weeks. If they'll hold off 10 weeks now, that'll be time for the election, so I bet the Democrats are saying, "Y'all please kill them Israelis. We can't stand another 4 years, Donald Trump. No, we can't stand 4 more years, you."
Right.
And I say Pelosi gets the axe first. Get her out first. You tell me how somebody stays in office making $30,000 a year. Brother Stephen has an industrial refrigerator with $15 pints of ice cream in it. What kind of kitchen you... Elvis Presley didn't have that kind of kitchen in Graceland. And he was the king. Unbelievable. I saw where they made the nanner sandwiches. It looked like something in one of our houses. Wasn't very big at all. But you gonna have that? Ain't gonna make a living off people in Congress? And lie to those people you there for? I say let's clean up San Francisco and start with her and the sex perverts first. That's where it all come into port at to start with. But I see the humiliation that's coming because all those armies are going to surround Israel. And about the time they say, "We got you," which they will, I want you to notice this. When all looks hopeless in your life, just remain faithful. Just do what God called you to do, nothing else. Just stay faithful. Having done all to stand, stand. Secondly, I want to say this, I wrote this down. When all looks like an end, He is the Omega, and never forget that. There's a reason why He says, "I'm the Alpha and Omega." If He ain't through with it, it ain't through. I'm going to tell you something. When I was growing up, I got pneumonia and about died in the ninth grade. They'd all but given me up. And when it was all hopeless, guess what? Hope showed up and I got better. Are you listening to me? I wouldn't be here now if God wouldn't have done that then.
Amen.
Say, did you pray? I couldn't even talk. I didn't even know I was in the world. Listen, God can do things. When it looks like it's the end, He's still the Omega. That's why He says that. That's the last letter in the Greek alphabet letting you know that He's not done till He's done.
Amen.
Now watch this. When they thought they won, they lost. You talk about prophecies. Look at Luke 21. Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. This being a type of the second coming over there. When it looked like all was lost, there was victory. When it looks like there was the end, He's the Omega. And you get over to Luke chapter 21. He's telling them how bad things are going to be. Verse 25. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars." Somebody tell John Hagee he's about way off on that blood moon thing. That happens later, not now. I ain't heard not a lot out about that crowd since that blood moon came and passed and went and all that other stuff, have we? They was expecting Jesus to show up. Or they was really ready to con somebody because they sure did take in a lot of money out of them books and ain't been no money given back. It's like the Y2K supply manuals. Y'all got any of them? I had a man try to give me a dollar to take one off his hands the other day. There shall be signs in the sun and the moon, the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, with the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. Now, this is all yet future. You think it's now, but this is yet future. He said, in looking after those things which are coming on earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. They won't see him at the rapture. We won't even have time to see him in the rapture. It'll happen so fast. But at this coming, everybody's going to see him as left. And it says there, and this verse is up in Washington, D.C. at the Holocaust Museum up there. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Went to that Holocaust Museum, and how dare somebody compare our president to Hitler. You do not know what kind of monster Hitler was and them people were. They would come in a Jewish synagogue and round everybody up and say, "You're gone." They'd tattoo them at the door, putting a number on them, and send them out the door. They'd get to these places, they'd put men on one side, women on the other, and take the children from them. And those monsters would take those children, hand out coloring paper so they could color little pictures, and then send them off to a gas chamber to die. Don't you ever say he did something like that, because you know he hadn't.
Right.
And this fake virus scare you've been putting on people, that ain't nothing like that. I'll sign my name to it. Anybody wants to debate that thing, there is no way. There's no way. Obama's not that evil. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are not that evil. And I think they're the bottom of the barrel, but they're still not the bottom. But I looked there at that thing, and I remember walking through that little museum, and you look in that gas chamber, and there's a pile of baby shoes about this high. You walk down another corridor, they show the pictures those kids are painting before they're put in there. And you think, "My God, how can somebody be like that?" I got a question for you. How do you let these abortion clinics stay on in your country? You always think you drive by abortion clinic. They don't have a sign that says abortion clinic, but you can tell what it is by all the Christians outside praying and handing out gospel tracts on the way in. That's the only way you know what that thing is. I don't care whether it's in Greenville or Charlotte, that's how you identify it. Here's the crazy part. It's the same thing as what they were doing. Sign us a bill, Mr. President, please. Make it a law against it. Make them men atone for the murders they've committed. Hold those parents responsible, too. We get into the area of that, and we see all that's like that. And I was with Brother John Adair going through this thing. And I got to the end of the thing, and they showed them 24 flags up over there. The Army Airborne Rangers, in that verse right under it. I said, "Boy, I bet that thing had great application that day. A lot of Jews believed over there on the way to their gas grave because they didn't make it to that verse, but the ones that come out of it will never be the same." I spotted a Jewish man in town one day. He was obvious as a sore thumb. I said, "Are you a Jew?" He said, "No. He's a Jew." You know why he done like that? For the same reason Justice Doctrine and the rest of them do, that's 50 years or older, 60 years or older. They were taught by their parents. If they come around asking if you're a Jew, tell them no. Hide your identity and hide your religion. They'll kill you. They don't trust people. I looked at that picture up there, that verse up on that thing, and I got to thinking, now, you know, that 7 years of tribulation is going to be bad on everybody, but it's the time of Jacob's trouble is going to really be bad on them. Because 144,000 are kept to the side, male Jewish virgins, non-Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way. They're going to be set aside to preach the gospel during this time. They're going to even see, God sends Moses and Elijah back, and they're going to cut their heads off on national TV, and then their bodies are going to join back together and go up. And all this is happening, and they finally got that final thing. They said, "We got you now." And then the Master shows up. See, all this stuff in Egypt was going to be bad. Joseph was dead, he thought. When they come back, "Won't Benjamin, all these things are against me." But I believe in this next chapter or two, we're going to see a bunch of wagons coming to get old Jacob. And you're going to find these words in there. I like this, but I'm not doing any of it. And the spirit of their father Jacob revived. God's going to touch his hand out there once again on that man. I told you about what happened when he's called Israel. At the beginning of this chapter, he uses Israel out of turn because he ain't got right with God yet. But that's God looking at future things for him. But he's going to become Israel forever. And listen, the prince of God. And we're going to see the king coming over here in verse 27 and 28. Thank God for a God that hadn't left us behind or forgot about us. The church goes out of here before it starts, and the Jew gets saved at the end. All the while, the king stands up against every Gentile army in this world. Wait a minute. By himself. He tells us, before you go to war, count the cost. He's already counted it, and he's already figured out he's won, and he's coming back to claim his victory. Because to him, it's already over with. He is the Omega. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus has you in his hand. He walks with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He died and was buried and rose again for your salvation. Oh, what a Savior and what a celebration we got coming. Father, we love you tonight. And God, we thank you for letting us be here and be alive.